Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks episode 11. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And joining us as a special guest yet again.
Hello.
This is Josh. Hey. You're becoming a regular special guest.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yes, yes.
But Josh has a new celebrity crush of the week. But
that's what we've heard.
This
yes.
is news. This is.
But I don't even
news.
Know her last name. That's kind of sad.
That is kind of sad.
Can you IMDb?
Well, can you give us like a little info about her?
Or? Okay, well, because I got into Heroes this week because the DVD okay. came out. Watch it. Watched all 23 episodes in 5 days, so that's like 16 hours.
Holy crap, man.
That's way too much for anyone to undertake. But anyway, she's the girl that can like make people see what she wants them to see.
Oh, Missy Peregrine.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, she's very attractive.
Yes, she's also... You know, not that I've seen this or anything, but I heard that in the pilot of Reaper, she's the main love interest. So
really?
You want to check that out
nice.
As well.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be talking about another stuff at some point.
And she'll probably be in Heroes season 2, don't you think?
It looked like
she didn't.
I don't think so. We're not going to reveal spoilers.
But you don't think she is going to be?
I don't think she will.
Oh, I'll be disappointed.
Yes. Yes, because I don't. Yeah, we're trying to stay away from spoiler territory, even if it is about a TV show.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about what came out this week.
Well, in theaters, you had the critically acclaimed... Actually, nothing this week was critically acclaimed. You had Balls of Fury, unfortunately, starring Christopher Walken, Kevin Bacon in the remake of Death Wish, Death Sentence, and Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Okay. I did not see Balls of Fury, but my dad saw Balls of Fury, and he said it was like one of the worst things he's ever seen, and he said if it was on HBO, he probably would have shut it off, which is not a compliment.
Entertainment Weekly gave it an F. I mean, they'll give stuff like a D at least usually, but they were just like, no,
My brother-in-law, who says The Grudge is the scariest movie he's ever seen in his whole life, which kind of, you know, I love Tim, but like, you know, his taste is it's never been eye to eye with me, but he saw Balls of Fury and says it's one of the worst pieces of crap he's ever seen in his life.
Wow. This sounds like we're like hitting mafia territory.
Big time.
Oof. Because that's an awful movie too. All right, let's talk about it. We actually all saw one of the movies.
We all saw Rob Zombie's Halloween. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Who wants to go first? I know I'm the most negative of the
bunch. You should go first. Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, if you read the review, that's pretty much my feelings. I gave it a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, it was a good review. Good review.
Thank you. I was hoping that it wasn't just like, this movie sucks because I said so. I hope I never write a review like that. At one point, I actually did ponder giving it a 7 just because... sorry, got to get a little jab in there just for fun still. Never living that down. I figured, you know, it's a remake of a great, really, you know, a great thriller that was very tense throughout the whole thing. And I wasn't scared once. And that's like the biggest crime that could have been made. I really think it has the same problem that Hannibal Rising does. When you explain who the creature is, you pretty much castrate the character. He's not scary anymore. You know, as soon as you feel for the villain, he's the villain. I understand that, you know, Rob Zombie came from the point of view that, you know, he's always about the monster, not about the hero at all. And I understand that, but I think it really undercut any value that there was to the storyline. So that's my main issue. I mean, as far as acting and stuff, I mean, the heroines all, I couldn't have cared less if they died or not. I mean, you know, pretty much outside of the chick who played Laurie Strode, you know, the prerequisite was, well, you take at least your top off because you're in, you know. I will say that the special props have to go out to Sherry Moon Zombie. The scene right before she exits the film was absolutely moving and stirring.
I
thought it was amazing. I thought, you know, Tyler Mane as Michael, I thought that was a great choice to make him like this hulking creature. I think it added a lot to, you know, he's just this beast who's unstoppable. And, you know, Malcolm McDowell, a lot of people have been pretty, I don't know, critical of him, but I think that he did fine with what he had, and he acted circles around everyone else on the screen. So there's my take. There's a little bit of good, but a whole lot of, yeah. So
on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you
I give? Gave it a 3.
Give it a 3.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think that's really harsh.
What'd you think?
And you know, you bring up a good point. If it hadn't been a Halloween remake, it's very possible I would have given it a higher rating if it was a unique property.
Well, I really liked it. I watched it as two different movies. I watched it as a Halloween remake and a Rob Zombie movie, and I felt the strongest of both those was the Rob Zombie movie aspect. I think it's his best movie that he's ever done. But as far as like a Halloween remake goes, I really didn't care for the first stuff, like the whole build up to why
the redneck trailer trash.
That's as soon as it started with all the F-bombs and stuff. I was like, oh my God, this is a Rob Zombie movie.
Skull F the S out of you. I'm like, what in the...
Yeah, even like the super bad kids would have been like, holy crap, Rob Zombie.
It's like, wow.
Foul mouth.
But as soon as all that was done and it showed Lori leaving her house and her kid coming up and talking about babysitting and the boogeyman and all that, and it went back to the first Halloween, I really, really got into it.
Mm.
And I know I liked it. I understand that I didn't think it was really that scary either, but I think for having to do a remake and what he did with it and updating it to be something that if you had not seen the old Halloween, I think you would find it scary.
Let me ask you a quick question. Scout Taylor Compton, the lady who played, the girl who played Laurie Strode, did she not look like, we couldn't get Lindsay Lohan, so let's get her. Just initially.
She's cuter than Lindsay.
Cuter than Lindsay.
But I'm talking about those first few scenes. I mean, you got the glasses, the hair. I'm just like, wow.
The resemblance is there. She could be Lindsay Lohan's cuter younger sister.
Right? Yeah. All right. Barry.
Well, as much as I'm surprised to say this, I liked it as much as you did. I really liked this movie a lot. I think it's uneven. I think it's got some real problems. Like yourself, the opening scene is so laughable. I thought it was just, it got the whole movie off to a wrong start.
Yeah.
Not only because it was so crass, but like William Forsythe, I thought, I like him as an actor, but he was just overdoing it so much. Like to me, the tone of the movie was out of whack at the first. And the movie kind of had to go from with an uphill, you know, battle from there. But like, I think it just got better and better. I really, really liked this movie. What didn't I like? Well, it's like on one hand, Zombie made all of the killing scenes very, very confrontational and very, very brutal and very in your face, which I think was his intent of just making every scene have an impact rather than being, you know, like, oh, okay, another murder scene. Like, no, every one of them, like, you really, they were truly,
like, oh, crap.
Yeah, they were truly horrific and truly frightening. But at the same time, Zombie let them kind of run on so long that some of those scenes was like, okay, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but like, let's get to the plot. You know, I'm like watching those terrible Friday the 13th sequels, you know, where you're like, okay, the plot is terrible. Just kill these idiots. Please, Jason, kill them. But in this case, like, I wanted to get past all those scenes because I was so engrossed in the story. I honestly really liked all the buildup of the Myers house and also in the institution. It was when it became a Halloween movie, kind of like the opposite of what you thought.
Oh.
That's when I was like, you know, it's just, I've seen this before. You know, when Laurie Strode is walking down the street and the music is playing, like, okay, this is we're in the Carpenter movie.
It's uncanny how close to the shots that he
got. Some of those shots were, I agree, like, they're almost like scene.
Wasn't it cool though that because he was remaking something, but it was kind of like the beginning part. He made his own little intro movie, and then shot Halloween. I felt like, and the connection of with the music and stuff. I thought that was really cool.
And it's different. And it's true. It is different enough that it isn't like, you know, like Gus Van Sant's Psycho. I mean, it's different enough,
which he's definitely been accused of.
I don't think anything could be further from the truth. I'll say this real quick. Like, from all the reviews I've read, it seems like the critics are being, you know, I mean, like the nationally, you know, the big wig critics. Yeah. They're being very critical of this movie because they're very protective of the Carpenter film, and I respect that.
And you know, I think that's probably where my low, you know. I mean, you look at the film, and as far as like film composition and stuff, I mean, Zombie's a good filmmaker, I think. And I mean, I don't want to write him, I'm not writing him off as a filmmaker by any stretch of the imagination. I want to make that clear. But I think, you know, when you make a remake, there are certain expectations that come into play, and you just have to deal with that fact. So that's my own personal opinion. So okay, 1 to 10, what'd you guys give it?
I think I said I'd give it an 8.5.
Wow, okay.
6.5 for me.
6.5. Okay. Cool. All right.
Man.
That's definitely one of the best horror movies I think to come out this year, besides Dead Silence.
Honestly, I think it's the best horror movie remake I've seen in like years. I mean, I even prefer it to The Ring, honestly. I thought it was really solid. And like, I understand, you know, it's not scary in like the boo sense.
It's a slasher film. It's a good slasher film.
I would call it a hardcore horror movie.
Okay.
And you know, honestly, the moment at the beginning of the movie where little Michael has his clown mask on and he opens the curtains with his knife to see the kids walking by, that's one of the most iconic horror movie moments, I think, in years.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those great horror movie moments, and I think the movie has lots of them. For every stupid scene in it that doesn't work, like that stupid gas station bathroom scene,
or how many times did they have to use Don't Fear the Reaper?
I know, like, how many, you know, go with obvious choices, but I thought the ending was stunning.
I did not see that coming.
Cool. I was just like, holy crap.
I will be there with you on that. There's actual closure to this film.
Yeah, there's closure, and it, like, psychologically, like, it makes sense. It all went full circle. It's like, okay, like, you know, this is not like the deepest movie, but Zombie, like, you could really see what he was getting at here. And I think it was a lot more thoughtful than, like, let's just do the Carpenter movie again.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to this week's DVDs, which I know will make Josh happy because he can't wait for Desperate Housewives.
Hey.
Season 3, man.
No, it's The Office I can't wait for.
What will Terry Hatcher do this week? All right. Well, you've got The Office season three. Yes. See what the folks at Dundee Mifflin are up to. Prison Break season two. Have they not escaped from prison yet? Desperate Housewives season three. Okay. And Nip Tuck season four. Also, Seth Green's Robot Chicken season two. All right. You got Cillian Murphy in The Wind That Shakes the Barley. Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey in 30 Rock season one. One of the big debacles of the summer, Georgia Rule, already on DVD. That came out, what, in May?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, what was it, like 3.5 months? All right, so Gene Fonda, Felicity Huffman, and someone you never heard of before, Lindsay Lohan. Criterion releasing Stranger Than Paradise, the first Jim Jarmusch movie to really make it big. This is, of course, the guy who did Ghost Dog, you know, awesome, awesome filmmaker. This is his first big, weird black and white movie. And for those of you who just can't get enough of Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari as Kip and Skip, Bosom Buddies, season two. That's right.
So I'm really bummed. I work at a Game Crazy, which means I get to rent movies about a week ahead of time. So if you ever wonder where the DVD reviews come from, as of right now, that's where they're coming from. I wanted to see Wind That Shakes the Barley. You know what we got? A ton of Georgia Rule. I'm like, no. And then all that little indie crappy stuff that's like, you know, like the snakes on a train movies. Awful week.
Transmorphers.
Yes, exactly. Yes. One of my buddies watched about 10 minutes of that and then had to shut it off.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so you said you've seen Robot Chicken out on the shelves already. Yeah, so this may be incorrect, but I got this from Amazon. So
when I went to go buy Heroes, I saw it on the shelf.
Hmm. Okay, so then.
It's probably already.
Could be wrong then. So that might be incorrect. I guess The Office is really the big release of the week.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to see
absolutely,
this.
Yeah. Been waiting for this since April.
I'm putting them all in my Netflix queue so I can start watching stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's someone like myself who got into it really late. The character arches and, you know, and certainly Steve Carell is the anchor. I mean, it's a great show.
And it's really kind of dramatic, too. I mean, yeah. I've never... Actually, there's a couple episodes of this season that I got kind of teary-eyed in.
Really?
Yeah, so... You haven't seen any of season 3.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any of it. But yeah, I got to say, I got cut... You know, I've been hearing, like, Jim and Pam, like, cares about Jim and Pam. Then I see the show, I'm like, oh, I get it. Care about these guys, so...
Very true. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on to some news.
Okay.
I think I have the vast majority this week. The biggest one that actually is cause for celebration and pissing off a ton of fanboys. Less than a month after it's released, the announcement came that there's a 3-disc collector's edition of Hot Fuzz coming November 27th. Here's the people who are pissed. The people who want all the content of the UK edition.
Yep.
Essentially, it's missing like a few, like four of the commentaries in the US edition and this entire second disc. Walmart did a special edition where they had a bonus disc that had almost all the UK extras. And it's hard to find and it's going for a ton of money on eBay. And now you can just wait another couple months and only get all five commentaries, all the UK extras, but extended editions of the US exclusive extras on the third disc. So I'm buying it. I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I don't blame anyone for being pissed off.
Sure. I just hate this double-dipping crap. I mean, you know.
Well, especially this close. I mean, if they've gone the Peter Jackson route, like when they released Lord of the Rings, you know there's this extended edition coming.
Right.
That would have
Well, even with, like, when I went to go buy, like, 300, it was, like, 300 single-disc edition, 300 double two-disc edition, 300 mega uber
with head
two-disc. Yeah, I'm like, can't you just get, like, one to, I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I don't mind that they do that all at the same time because they give you the choice up front.
But it used to be like if a movie was good enough, like Spider-Man 2, they would only release it as a 2-disc thing, and it would only be $15. But now it's like, well, if I can only spend $50, I have to buy the single disc edition.
And now people are happy because you know, or the studios are happy because they figure out, hey, people will pay extra to get that second disc, which is just complete crap.
It's such crap. I don't mind if it's an old movie like RoboCop or Evil Dead that changes hands with the studios over time, so you know there's going to be new editions with the new people who actually have it. Or if it's something like, you know, Heat that came out in a crappy DVD initially, but then, you know, Warner Brothers decided to give it, you know, a special souped-up 2-disc edition, I'll roll with that. That's fine, but...
Or back to our Matchpoint DVD that has nothing on
it. Yeah, you know, that's just ridiculous. You know, so I'll go with that kind of upgrade, but when it's just like a few months, you know, and you get this new one coming out,
it's sad.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it absolutely sucks. I guess I'll keep going. Because I got other DVD news. Speaking of 8 million editions of something coming out, it looks like on November 20th, it's just been announced, Live Free or Die Hard is coming on DVD.
Okay.
If you want the PG-13 cut, you can only buy it in full screen, which I kind of like.
Huh.
But I kind of want the PG... I like what I like, see in the theater.
I'm curious. Well, I guess it'll stand to say what the unrated version brings. If it's a more fleshed out movie, it's a better movie. You can buy the unrated version, I guess, in widescreen only is my guess, or you can buy a 2-disc collector's edition for those people like me who have the 2-disc editions of all the other 3 movies.
Yeah.
So they at least give you a choice.
But it sounds like a big up yours to the movies, to the people who gave, to the people who made that movie, a $130 million grossing movie of the summer. You know, I mean, I want a widescreen. I mean, why would you release it just in?
I don't know. It's very possible that they're getting the word out this far ahead of time so that they can gauge interest. If people are like, I want the widescreen cut of the PG-13 edition.
And some things are like, when I bought the Saw 2 unrated DVD. There is one shot in it that pissed me off so much that I only watched the rated DVD that I have too, because there's a shot of, it's like when they revealed Jigsaw the first time.
Yeah,
it's in the theater cut. The SWAT team comes up and you see him and he's sitting there and he's all old and you haven't seen him since the first movie. So it's like, oh, that's what he is now. But in the unrated one, when the police first get to the warehouse, it shows him sitting there like waiting. And it totally ruins any suspense of them running in. So it's like things like that that really upset me. Like,
and ruined the film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and here's my guess. If they do the unrated 2-disc collector's edition, my guess is people who want to see both versions, I'm guessing they'll have like the branching DVD that'll have the PG-13 cut or the R-rated cut.
Sure.
I'd hope. Because it'd be kind of cool to have that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'll do my last bit of DVD news. I promise it's the last one, but I have to mention this. Stardust is coming December 18th. And I'm so bummed it lasted like 3 weeks in the theaters. And it was so good.
But you know what? I got to say this, though. I've been watching it in the list, the box office list, and it's been dropping like 20%, 28%, 30%. I mean, it's obviously, even though it's not a big contender, it's been finding a cold audience.
It's not dropping 40, 50% in
a week. Exactly, yeah. I mean, even like The Simpsons, you know, dropped like, 70% in week two?
Yeah.
But like Stardust is, you know, I think when it finally does hit DVD, it is going to find a really big following.
Absolutely. Cool. Does anyone else got anything?
I've got DVD news. You know, the Stanley Kubrick DVD collection coming out, I believe at the end of October, I think. It's going to be...
This sounds so cool.
2-disc DVD editions of everything he's done from 2001 on. We got 2001, Lolita, Clockwork Orange.
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket, The Shining, Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah.
Hmm.
2-disc special editions. And for those who are curious, the Eyes Wide Shut one, like...
Oh, they're going to do his original cut, aren't they?
And the European cut, yeah, which is so stupid because there's a difference between one scene, but yeah.
But for those completists...
Is there like a pooping scene or something?
That's no,
like
they just want to see more boobies.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all there
is. Well, doesn't the movie open with what's her name, peeing?
Yeah, she's in the toilet, like, briefly, but it's not like a close-up or anything.
Yeah, from the toilet's view. No! Oh.
What is that?
No.
Oh.
No, nothing like that. So they're releasing them in a box set as well as separately?
Right, box set and separately, yep.
Cool, because I wouldn't want all of those, but there's a couple I'd want.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want Full Metal Jacket, but The Shining?
Yeah. That'd make me pull the trigger finally. Cool.
Well, you know, there's a rumor, it hasn't been confirmed, but there's a rumor that the lost footage from The Shining will be there, because The Shining was a much longer movie. Kubrick released it in theaters, he pulled it out, cut some stuff out, and put it back in the theaters.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So The Shining actually has a different ending.
Okay, that could be really interesting. Cool. Yeah. Okay, well, I actually have non-DVD news. Yay! Apparently, according to IGN, Zoe Saldana, who played Calypso in the Pirates movies, has been offered the role of Uhura in the Star Trek movie.
Oh, okay.
So have you guys heard what the storyline is they're talking about doing? It's like it's actually an alternate storyline, like an alternate universe type thing.
Wow.
So I'm not quite sure how I feel about that.
It's real science fiction.
It is. It's like branches off from the original Star Trek storyline and kind of makes its own thing. So I don't know. I mean,
I'm just excited that Siler's going to be Spock.
Oh, yes. That's brilliant casting as far as I'm concerned.
I'm glad they're trying to branch off and do their own thing, but you know, that could go either way. It is too early for us to start moaning about it, but hey, as Trekkies, we have to moan about
it. Exactly. So. Yes. We would not be fanboys if not.
That's right.
I mean, and then we had the completely useless Saw 4 trailer that came out that didn't show you...
Thanks, Darren.
Pretty much nothing. And
thanks.
Makes you want to say, oh, look, it's more of the same, and I'll be skipping it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be skipping it.
I know. You're very emotionally invested in the series. So no, it makes sense, though.
Well, as a non-Saw fan, I have to ask, because I really want to know at this point. According to IMDb, Tobin Bell's in it, but he's not. I mean, what's the deal? Do you know what this
is about?
I
have no idea.
Is he playing his evil twin brother, Jigsaw?
Nothing like that. Darren said at Comic-Con, he said it's not his twin brother. Jigsaw is dead, but the ending to this one is going to... go back across all four movies and
clone him.
So it's not. He said that it's not a clone either. he promised that it would make sense. But yeah, I don't understand. Is it going to be? It has to be flashback stuff.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And obviously voice work. Maybe he set up this trap before he died or something. I don't know. A lot of people are saying that they think he has a new apprentice. Hmm. And that maybe Dr. Gordon is his new apprentice or something, even though he doesn't have a foot. I don't know. Hmm. And
okay, then.
How about a new puppet? I want a little girl variation on that puppet.
Oh, yep. Then we're going to have Seed of Jigsaw.
Yes. Great. Yeah, exactly.
But I remember
a crossover potential there. Yeah. It just keeps going.
I remember for the Saw 3, though, the trailers for that were kind of the same as what they're doing with this one, where it showed absolutely nothing except for screaming and a wall.
And Saw fans like, yes!
Yeah. Everyone else is like, great.
Well, you know what, though? I respect the fact that they're not only are they not giving anything away, but they're showing that, hey, you need to know what this movie is. If you go see this movie not knowing that it's a horror movie, you're an idiot, because the posters are all bloody and gory. The trailers show nothing but violence. So I think they're doing that just to be like, this is a horror movie.
And it's a very confident trailer. They're like, if it's Halloween, it's Saw, and you're expecting this, and you better see it. And from that aspect, I really respect that. Although, have you seen the alternate version of the Saw 4 poster?
Uh-oh. Which one?
The one where Jigsaw's head is in the thing.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
With Admiral Akbar.
It's a trap. Yeah, I did see that.
I'll see if I can find it and post it somewhere, because it is hilarious.
I saw a flash of that, but it was like the audio clip, like, it's a trap, it's a trap, it's a trap.
It was a really well-done version of that poster.
And then the Mist trailer came out, which I know you have been excited for.
Very excited to see this movie.
The trailer looked like crap.
It absolutely does. The fact that they used such a great soundtrack as the Fountain score made me more upset, because it looked so bad.
Mm.
Like, anti-religion, give us the boy, we must sacrifice him to God. I'm like, what in the... No.
You know what's so sad? I mean, this is so...
You've been so psyched.
Yeah, but I was going to say, this is so telling that, Hollywood, they do this all the time. They think, like, well, no one saw the fountain, might as well use that good fountain music.
Just like Requiem for a Dream soundtrack gets used over and over. Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They do that crap all the time.
Yeah, I'm like, well, it didn't take long for them to start using it. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'll do the last trailer for One Missed Call.
Yay.
We saw footage of this at Comic-Con, and I gotta say, it looked creepy, but not even remotely scary. And the footage that they saw, it was like a long reel of it. It didn't make any sense at all. Yeah. Even for someone who's seen the movie, and like afterwards, what? Like Edward Burns and Shannon Sossaman, they very poorly tried to explain the plot to the movie.
They were both so unenthusiastic about being there and the movie. Shannon was a complete idiot.
Awful, awful.
And I would say that to her face, and she probably wouldn't understand what I was trying to say to her. She literally could not... form a sentence about the movie. I mean, it was like, wait, what did you ask me? Why am I here?
So they couldn't even get out, the movie's about people get killed. You get a phone call and a voicemail that shows you're going to die in a few days.
No, it was, I'm Shannon and I have an iPhone to give out. What's an iPhone? I mean, it was like, and then Ed Burns was like, when we did the roundtable with him, he didn't talk about the movie. He talked about independent films versus studio pictures. And I was like, wait, aren't you here to talk about One Missed Call?
If realistically, this is not the best of Mia Kay's films. It's his attempt to be the most mainstream as he possibly could. And so...
That's why we're getting this instead of the remake of Audition or Ichi the Killer,
There's no way they could do Ichi the Killer. There's no...
I've been waiting for an Audition remake, honestly, because I thought that would be one people would at least attempt,
Yeah, because
save that
first
for our topic.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yes.
Sorry, Josh.
That's okay. Well, I'm out of news now, so...
Okay, I got one more. Okay. Movie I've been looking forward to years, and this thing has gone unreleased, so you can find the trailer to it on YouTube. It's been sitting there for years. Romance and Cigarettes, a bizarre musical drama by John Turturro. It stars Kate Winslet, James Gandolfini, Susan Sarandon, all-star cast. It's been shown at various film festivals. Everybody has thumbed their nose at this movie and said, we don't want to release it. We don't have anything to do with it. Never mind, it has this amazing cast. But it was made back in 2004, and it's been unreleased. Well, finally, Turturro's like, screw you guys, I'm going to release it myself. So he's going to independently release it himself, very much the way David Lynch released Inland Empire over a period of time. It begins September 7th in New York in limited personal release.
Now, John Turturro is the scene stealer from Transformers, right?
That would be John Turturro. And I think it's so sad that you know him that way.
I was going to say, you know, from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Or Miller's Crossing.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to say that to piss you off.
And it worked. Yes. It's one of the many weaklings in Transformers, yes.
All right, well, I think that's wrapped that. This is a good time to take a break, I think. So
yes.
We will be right back, and yeah.
We're here at Geek Label Laboratories to discover if wearing quality Geek Label t-shirts will actually make you smarter. Joining us today is Rodney.
Blinky lights, pretty.
Now we'll outfit Rodney in a sweet as love Geek Label t-shirt. Now we'll introduce Rodney to Schrodinger's cat in the hopes that he will successfully explain the inadequacy of early quantum mechanical theory.
Ooh, tastes like chicken.
Rodney, no.
Snack size, snack size.
Look smart and feel fly in your custom Geek Label t-shirt, ladies' tee, or any of the many styles now available, including grilling aprons. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest. Will Geek Label products actually make you smarter?
Geek coherence make Rodney hungry.
No, dumbass, they're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts. Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
It's not quite as good as Ray hitting on Sandra, but I love that commercial.
I wish we could. I wish these commercials were televised. Those guys are great.
Wow,
thank you once again, Geek Label.
Barry, I have to correct you on something though.
Oh, okay.
You when you were talking about The Office, it's Dunder Mifflin, not Dundee Mifflin. I'm sorry.
You call yourself a nerd.
Yeah,
I know. Okay. I got some nerve, man.
There you go. Wow. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move on.
Sorry
to
the gang at Dunder Mifflin. Okay.
In Scranton, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
All right, what are we talking about this week?
All right, well, this week is Please Remake This. We're basically going to give Hollywood some help because they've remade everything from Around the World in 80 Days to The Shaggy Dog in the last few years, and they've all sucked balls of fury. So
yeah, we're hoping for good things with 310 to Yuma.
Very good things, and we've heard very good things. Yes. We're off to see it tonight, so we'll see how it holds up. But yeah, that could go either way too. So, yeah. So we're gonna basically give Hollywood some heads up, and also talk about the last 5 years of remakes, which have been painful,
awful. Yes. Yeah, and I have another remake that we need to talk about. That I forgot to talk about in news too. So we'll get there. So
okay,
yes.
Very good.
Who wants to kick us off?
What were you talking about when I said don't? Save that for the topic.
Oh, I always assumed because it's so popular, at least it's his most well-known movie, that we'd eventually get a remake of Takashi Miike's Audition.
Oh, right.
Because to me, it seems like such a natural. And, you know,
Half is so Hollywood.
Yeah,
it really
exactly.
Is.
To redo it as, you know, like a conventional romantic drama, you know, like, I mean, I know this is ridiculous, but like imagine like Tom Hanks and like Amanda Peet. And then she tortures his ass the last hour of the movie. I mean, wouldn't that be, you know?
I could probably see Amanda Peet doing that, though.
See, yeah. This is the kind of movie I'd love. If there's going to be a remake that Rob Zombie should do, it should be Audition, I think.
Oh, sure, sure.
I think it tonally, it fits a lot more with what he does.
Mm.
So I think that could be a great step. I'm sure that after Halloween, he's like, forget doing
no
remakes.
No more remakes, yeah.
No more wire hangers.
But, you know, I got to say, I'll just say again about Halloween, like, I loved all the performances in the movie, even the young actresses. I mean, not only because they were so willing to do A Girl's Gone Wild cinematically, but because they gave good performances. I really like Scout's performance.
I agree.
I totally agree with you. Daniel Harris, I thought she was, what a brave thing for her to do. I mean, this is her first major movie in years and years. But what I was going with that was I love that Malcolm McDowell played it so differently. You know, because Donald Pleasence is Loomis, you know, not to, you know, bash what he did. He was fantastic, but he was obviously nuts. Yeah. It was obvious, you know, that Loomis had been working with Michael for years, you know, and he had completely gone bonkers because his number one project was going to crap. But with Malcolm McDowell, you get the sense, like, all that weird stuff that, you know, Loomis says, like, he's not walking in the shadows, he is the shadows. You get the sense that Malcolm McDowell is just quoting his book because his Loomis, his Loomis is such an egotist, you know.
Absolutely, so, yes.
Yeah,
I have one movie that's not a comedy.
Okay.
Actually, I have two, but I'll start with the first one. It was last seen really by anybody in the Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, and that would be This Island Earth.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. Now, work with me on this. The concept behind the film I thought was amazing because what a scientist is curious by nature. You get this box full of parcel. What does it make? I don't know. Let's make it. Let's follow the directions. What the heck is this? And you get talked to by aliens. I mean, the actual concept and the beats behind it, I think, really would work as a remake very well.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, hopefully you don't have the Metalunan brain men, whatever type thing. But, I mean, you know, even the professor from Gilligan's Island kind of gave it a little bit of gravity, you know. And you see, if someone had actually played that straight and actually made a good solid remake of it, I think it could be really fun and a good time.
I think it's a cool idea.
So yes, that's actually what made me think of this concept in the first place.
Okay. That's cool. No, I could definitely see that.
A lot better than doing The Day the Earth Stood Still.
No kidding.
With Keanu Reeves as Klaatu.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that the other day.
Who's going to be Gort?
Ashton Kutcher, maybe?
Okay, sorry. All right.
Well, I got to go with Metropolis. Because, honestly...
I
mean, this is a movie that has influenced every science fiction film ever made. There are pieces of that movie that are missing that have never been restored. Like, every time you see it on DVD or VHS, it's always like, this scene missing. And they, like, describe the scene. It's like, not that the film is any less of a masterpiece. I mean, Fritz Lang's movie is one of the greatest films ever made. Yet, with technology, I think it'd be utterly spectacular.
Truly horrific.
Truly spectacular. And also, the plot still holds up about, you know, about the downtrodden society. You know, the wealthy are literally living on top of these people who are working for their benefit. How the poor and the rich, you know, initially they're battling together. But, you know, over time they have to, like, learn to live together. You know what?
I think tonally, this still applies. I mean, not nowhere near the same movie, but tonally, as far as, like, the color palette and stuff, Dark City would be, like...
Exactly.
Oh, that would,
yeah.
Good choice, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, so I've always wanted to see a remake of Metropolis because I think thematically it's always applicable. It's always a good story. So
cool.
I'm trying to think of what movies I would like to. Just because I want to see another one so bad.
Major Pain.
No. Hocus Pocus. No. Mac and Me. Yeah. No.
Mac and Me.
Space Invaders.
Yeah. Hey, leave Space Invaders out of this. No, I would actually wouldn't mind a Gremlins remake. Mm-hmm. I think just because I want another one so bad that a remake I would accept. But I don't know if it would work.
Would you rather see a sequel?
I'd rather see Gremlins 3. Yeah.
I would. I wouldn't want to see CGI Gremlins though, and that's what they were.
It's kind of like seeing a CGI Yoda. It's not the same. Like,
what?
No.
Okay, that would be really cool.
Gremlins 3. But it has to be Joe Dante. Joe Dante. It's got to be Zach Galligan. He's like a science teacher now, you know. And one of his students brings in this Mogwai, and it like.
Wouldn't that be cool if they kind of redid the first one, but as with him as the? Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. Him as like the Hoyt Axton wacky next dad.
Generation. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to see. I've always wanted to see Gizmo as a gremlin. I'm sorry. If they make a third one, they need to go out with a bang and make Gizmo a gremlin, and he kicks all the other gremlins' asses.
Hmm.
That's the way it needs to go.
There you go.
But then you have no protagonist. You have no cute little gremlin that you could have like as a suction toy for the kids.
Yes, you have the Terminator of gremlins.
That's right.
He's like 6 feet tall. And
Gizmo. I will bring one up that I know is going to spurn Josh onto bringing one on the back end of this. It's what, not even 3 years old, maybe not even 2 years old. Scrap it, make the concept correctly. I want to see a good X-Men 3.
Mm.
That movie took a giant dump on everything that ever was good about the X-Men.
Do you think maybe Wolverine will make up for that somehow?
I don't think so. I don't know why. I just kind of have that feeling that it's...
I think Magneto is going to suck, but I have hopes for what Wolverine.
It should be good, but will it be? I mean, X-Men 3 should have... It was the Phoenix Saga. It should have been an amazing film. It should have blown everybody's socks off, but...
Do we know how the cast felt about X-Men 3? Like, as Hugh Jackman said, what
I don't think anyone ever has. I think that there's enough of a political... Yeah. You know, you want to be PC enough that you don't burn any bridges that you wouldn't want to... Do it like Ewan McGregor did with Star Wars. And they're like, how are you doing with this? Oh, it's the best movie I've ever done. Ha, ha, ha.
Thumbs up for Lucasfilm. Well, I got to mention this really quick. I forgot to tell you this. It was so funny. Did you see the New York Times review of Rush Hour 3?
No.
It's one of the funniest reviews ever. Because it starts off, like, they get it right out of the way, like, immediately. Like, here is a joyless, clunky, crappy, stupid, pointless, another terrible threequel summer movie. But then the rest of the review, they just bash Brett Ratner. And they're like, here's one reason I hate him. And they, like, mention, like Rush Hour 1, 226 million. Rush Hour 2, 489 million. And then they say, like, X-Men The Last Stand, 697 million worldwide, ... which is amazing if you've seen the movie.
You know, I have plenty of issues with Brett Ratner, but I firmly believe that that movie was not his fault.
Oh, sure.
If you and I would do the same thing, if you were given the opportunity to work, make an X-Men movie, well, maybe we wouldn't. I don't, you know, the more I think about it, maybe I wouldn't.
Well,
but they're like, we want you to make an X-Men movie, but you have to have it done in the next 6 months. it's going to be on screens in a year. I don't know. I mean, that's a choice that, you know.
Why didn't Singer do it? Because he needed
to be Superman. Because he was Superman.
Right? Yeah.
And Fox wouldn't wait. They wouldn't wait. And that's why X-Men came out so quickly, because they wanted their movie to come out before Superman.
Which is so dumb, because it would have been so...
They could have gotten the best of both worlds. They really could have. Yeah.
He was talking about doing the Hellfire Club, and I mean, just going, oh, it would have been amazing. So, yes. Yeah. I want
to... Sam needs to remake Spider-Man 3.
That's what I was waiting for.
It came out this year. Just remake it. Don't listen to Aviara. Don't put Venom in it. Just make Spider-Man 3.
Make the movie
3.
You want to make.
Yeah, make it dark. Make it everything that we wanted it to be. I was actually looking through this Spider-Man 3 art book at Barnes & Noble, and did you know Vulture was originally supposed to be the second villain?
No.
I wouldn't be surprised. Wow. I seem to remember that.
And there was all this little cool thing stuff, like when Flint Marko breaks out of jail, they had the guy that plays Vulture, like, building his wings to escape from jail and stuff like that. That would have been really, really cool. Hmm. But remake Spider-Man 3.
Well, and this is one of those issues where the studios couldn't understand it or wouldn't listen to the fact that Spider-Man 1 and 2 were good because they were Sam's movies. He was making the movies he wanted to make, and he was connecting with people.
And you think that, like, the more money that he makes, the more creativity they would have let him do, but it was...
Unless he's doing a Peter Jackson thing where he's making his movies and he's footing most of the bill, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, after the Spider-Man movies, he probably can afford to do, you know, Evil Dead 4.
Yeah.
Please, Sam.
But, yeah. And get rid of Toby and Kirsten. I really...
You've had enough.
I've had enough of them. Milo Ventimiglia, I proposed this to him. He needs to be Peter Parker.
Ooh, the man who plays Peter Petrelli in Heroes.
He would be a little old, but I think that they could make up him to make him look a little younger.
I'm all for it. Wouldn't
he be good?
That's a really cool idea.
See, I told him this, and he goes, he kind of got pissed, and he's like, I have no control over whether I be Spider-Man or not. And I'm like, just go talk to him. Like, go talk to Sony. Go tell them that it was my idea. And I pitched like this whole like Spider-Man movie to him. I don't think he was very impressed. But anyway,
I'm sure Sony would be happy to pay him like $1 million versus like Tobey Maguire, yeah, like $25 million plus like 30% of the opening gross. So
yeah,
and you couldn't do much worse than Kirsten Dunst after that last movie. She was sleepwalking through the
world. She sang twice. She sang twice. There's a dance scene.
Yeah. I was all for Bryce Dallas Howard, but Kirsten Dunst.
Yes. All right, so let's move on to other ideas, because I got like six more here.
Okay, well, I wanted to mention, too, that I know we are coming. I just know they're coming, so I think we should just deal with this now. We're in a gamer-crazy world. What gamer does not want all of a sudden have a Ferrari pull up for a guy named Centauri and tell you that you are the last Starfighter? It's going to happen, man. They're going to remake the last Starfighter.
They're
going to
make it like an Xbox Live download or something. And, you know, they have the leaderboard. So, yeah, I mean, you have nationally, everything's done worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, that is going to happen.
That's freaking brilliant.
Thank you. The one that keeps me up at night, because I know it's going to suck balls. They're going to remake The Karate Kid. You know they're going to do it, and it's going to be Chow Yun-Fat. Chow Yun-Fat as Mr. Miyagi. You know it's going to happen. They're going to have some young, talentless young actor.
Zac Efron.
They're going to do like... I bet you played Anakin. I bet you... Oh, Hayden Christensen?
Jake Lloyd.
I bet Adam Brody's going to do it. It's going to be Adam Brody as Daniel's son and Chow Yun-Fat as...
Okay, my guess would have been Zac Efron. The High School Musical.
The dude from High School Musical.
Indeed. So you got like these really solid ideas of what's definitely coming. I've got like these would make cool ideas.
Well, what do you got?
The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Hmm.
The Don Knotts classic. You'd have to find some.
Crap! You reach back.
That's like one of the more current ones, I think.
Because like I've seen the public, like the private eyes, but I don't think I've ever seen the Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
It's find someone. Someone who really could mug the camera really well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Jim Carrey. There were talks that Jim Carrey was actually going to do. The Incredible Mr. Olympia.
Yeah, I've heard that for years.
So that's Wilson's gun. But I think the Ghost of Mr. Chicken could make for a fun family kind of scary movie. Mm. You know, like you have the Halloween programming for, you know, the scary movies that come out around Halloween. This could be really good and solid counter programming. And it's not a classic. People like it, but...
You know what would be cool? That is a classic and really old. Maltese Falcon.
Mm.
That might... I mean, I know it's like...
Well, and that's the problem. Like, you have to find not the Holy Grail films, but I think that could work well.
But I mean, there hasn't been a detective movie. Well, that was that Black Dahlia crap that came out last year.
Yeah. Film noir.
Yeah, do a good... Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, should I keep going through the old stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said this. This is prime. If Jim Carrey decides to go goofy again, Cinderfella.
That's a really good choice, though.
The Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that.
I could see that working out extremely well and being all suave and stuff. Because, I mean, he can pull off something more serious as well.
Right.
And so I think that'd be absolutely great.
It's a good choice.
I would love to see Tom Hanks go back to doing comedy again and remake The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Ooh, that's a good choice. Because I heard that Spielberg was going to direct Jim Carrey in a remake of that at one point.
Yeah, and I think that's the wrong choice. Mm. But I think it's the kind of film that still rings true today. The themes behind it and what it says. I mean, it still is a current... It could be a very current storyline still. There's not a whole lot of updating that needs to happen. So, and the other... I'll skip that one. But, I'll just do one more. Apple Dumpling Gang.
Ooh.
I would love an Apple Dumpling Gang remake.
Don Knotts classic.
Don Knotts, well, more Tim Conway, because I'm a bigger Tim Conway fan.
Gotcha.
But I think, if you found the right duo, I mean, it almost have to be like a Nick Frost, Simon Pegg kind of chemistry.
That would be cool.
If there was a British
version. Those guys, that would be cool.
I feel like I'm too young to know it.
This is Apple Dumpling Gang and the Apple Dumpling Gang Rise Again. This is like Disney Channel, like these should be like a rotation.
Oh, okay, I think I know what
those movies. Yeah, like they were hits when they came out.
They were westerns. Yeah,
yeah.
The one I had was I Was a Male Ward Bride.
Oh yeah, who are you thinking?
I have no idea who.
That's Cary Grant. So
yeah, I mean I don't think Clooney could pull it off, the goofiness, but that would be a really good one to see remade too. I mean, I'm trying to think of things that have a similar theme, since Hollywood's already digging to the bottom of the barrel anyway.
Right.
So. All right. What else have you got, sir?
Well, I was just—I wanted to go over the ones that have been out.
Let's go.
Yeah. Talk about the few pros and the many, many cons.
Yes.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, starring Jessica Biel, which I thought was terrible.
Didn't even bother.
Really bad. Freaky Friday, which I thought was pretty good.
It actually wasn't too bad.
With Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan, one of the few great Lindsay Lohan movies. Yeah, I thought it was actually a pretty good movie. Did any of you guys see All the President's Men? I didn't see it. Uh-huh. With Sean Penn?
No.
I didn't see it either. Okay. Moving on. Poseidon. What do you guys think of Poseidon?
Crap, 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 crap.
I
hate that movie.
Last July, I was in L.A. visiting family, and I went out with my uncle and stuff, and we took the tour of Grauman's Chinese Theater, right? And they have this one theater. This is such a long story to get to my point, but oh well.
And I think I know it.
Yeah, you can actually, there's a special seating area in one of the theaters. It's like a special area, like where generally celebrities go. It's like $5 more. You get your private entrance. You have a private concession stand with unlimited refills on popcorn and stuff. And it's like, and you have leather seats and all this stuff. And we were thinking about it. Except the movie was Poseidon.
Ah.
We're like, what's showing? Oh, if it was X-Men 3, I would have sat through X-Men 3 again. But Poseidon,
it's
no.
Not Poseidon.
No.
I didn't think it was terrible, but and honestly, I'm almost at the consensus that any movie with Kurt Russell can't be all bad.
Okay, I will give you that. The casting,
he was cool. He was good.
The casting, it was pretty good.
And Fergie died in that movie, which made me so happy.
That's the second movie with
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
I was going to say, it's the only good thing she's done was died in Grindhouse, like, but I didn't know she died in Poseidon too.
Yeah, so it's like a great cinematic trend that this movie started. The visual effects, I thought, were pretty obvious. I mean, they looked computer generated, but it was only 90 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought it could have been so much worse and so much longer too.
Absolutely,
it should have been more scary with the water stuff.
Yeah, but it says like this, like Titanic with Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, I was kind of wanting to, halfway through the movie, I was like, please turn into Deep Rising. Please turn into Deep Rising.
Please have a sea monster show up. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yes,
they should remake that.
Or the Abyss, or
Oh, don't touch the Abyss.
Oh no! Oh. No, I meant the creature from the Abyss.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha. Yeah,
no, dude,
no. But I said they should remake Deep Rising.
I like Deep Rising. I did too. For the crap that it is, it's kind of enjoyable, like in that junky level. Did you guys see I'm probably the one who saw this, the Tim Allen Shaggy Dog?
No.
It was bad. So bad. And Danny Glover's in it. It's like, poor Danny Glover's been like one bad movie after another. You and I saw Wicker Man. I know that. Yeah. That was a mistake. Did you guys see Bad News Bears?
Yes.
Was it good?
It was
Richard Linklater did it, and
Did do that.
Yeah, he directed that. Billy Bob. I mean,
well, come to think, maybe I like it better now. I didn't know he did it. It was okay.
Yeah,
it wasn't terrible.
Wasn't great.
I watched it. I mean,
okay. Which is like Amityville Horror.
I liked it better than the original
Me
one.
Me too. Man.
First time I saw it, I thought it was really scary, but watching it again, Ryan Reynolds has his shirt off the entire movie, and my friend was so scared to see it, and I'm like, oh, let's watch it. And it was Saturday night, really late, and we watched it, and we could not stop laughing every time he had his shirt off. And every, 20 minutes, he'd be like, go cut me some firewood to his stepsons.
Right,
you know?
Right,
so
right.
I was like, I don't know. The first time it was okay, but now it's just kind of like, meh.
Okay. But you know what? Another remake I thought was actually better than the original, which isn't saying much, though. When a Stranger Calls.
Yes.
That was much better than the original.
It was so different from the original one, because the original one, the first 20 minutes is all of the remake.
Right.
And then it goes on to be when she's an adult and the killer follows her and stuff.
But I thought that worked, because like in the original, that's the best part of the movie. And the rest of it sucks. And it's the search for the serial killer, and he's like stalking women in bars. But this time it's like, okay, we're going to take the best part of it and make it into a 75-minute movie with trailers.
And it was very different from Disturbia, which like didn't have any camera tricks or anything at all, and the girls were still screaming. This actually had a little bit of...
Yeah, it was pretty stylish for what it was, and the house was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I have to bring up one that's it's probably a good 10, 15 years old, but the Maverick remake. I know it's more of a remake of a TV show, but one of the greatest remakes of source material ever. I mean, granted, it was more of a sequel than anything else, as it turned out, but I thought that was an amazingly... well done film.
That's a totally other thing, you know, like TV, you know, TV movie ranks. But yeah, I get it. There's something like that, which is so fantastic and such a way to honor the series. Then you get something like Wild Wild West, which is like
total
shiting all over what was good and holy about that series.
Yes.
You were gonna say,
what did you like, or what did you see, the Hills of Eyes remake?
No No, I did not. I was warned not to, and I didn't see the sequel either.
So. Well, the sequel was...
the sequel to the remake. No, I mean,
if
we're going to go in that direction, I mean, I'll go back a few years and say Philip Kaufman's Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Leonard Nimoy and Donald Sutherland is one of the best. David Cronenberg's The Fly, I think, couldn't be more different from the original in every single way. And I'm sure anybody who loved the original The Fly would have been like, holy crap, this is disgusting and terrible. What have they done with my Vincent Price classic? But I still think, and that even John Carpenter is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like superior remakes. And not that the originals were bad, but they're, you know, they're quaint B-movie horror films that worked in their day. But like, I think what was done with them in the 80s and the 70s really gave them so much more tension and theme, and you know, and they had the budgets to really give it a full vision rather than it be like, you know, these drive-in cheapies.
Yeah. What would you guys think about a remake to They Live? If they did,
that would just
make
me sad.
Well, I mean, if they found some like serious actors to do this,
they have
really
to do the fight.
Bad tongue-in-cheek movie.
If they did it with Kurt Russell in the Roddy Piper role, then maybe. And John Carpenter remade his own movie, then maybe. But to me, that is just like fraught with disaster.
Yes.
Did you guys see Assault on Precinct 13?
No, I heard it was so awful.
It wasn't bad, but it was so forgettable.
Okay.
Yeah, another John Carpenter remake. And you liked, did you like Black Christmas?
No.
Okay, I still haven't seen it, honestly.
It was, no.
That's one of my favorite horror films of all time. The original, anyway. But
it had some interesting things in it, but it was total crap.
Because someone told me, like the killer like makes cookies out of his mom or something.
Yeah, he takes the cookie cutter and like presses it in her back and makes like flesh cookies. And he's got like this like hermaphrodite sister and stuff. It's
hermaphrodite sister?
Yeah.
Not in the original.
Yeah.
Where's our Student Bodies remake? Dang it.
Exactly. Let's go with some that worked. War of the Worlds. Did you guys like War of the Worlds?
Yeah, actually
did. The Spielberg movie? No.
No.
Not at all.
Anyone could have made that movie.
Mm.
Anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no Spielberg touch to that at all.
You don't think so, really?
No. Brett Ratner could have made that movie.
No, don't say that.
Absolutely.
What about when the giant spider bot comes out of New Jersey and it's zapping all the people? That didn't like remind you like Jurassic Park? Or
see, I'm not really.
I'm totally with you, because there's Steven Spielberg, something about his movies, like especially War of the Worlds, was so grounded in reality and realistic to me. I actually got like a stomach ache while watching it.
That scene in particular, I was like, this is creepy, because it looked like it was really happening.
Yeah, and all the stuff in the basement is just like,
kind of uncomfortable. Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with you. You know, and I think the only thing about it that made me a little too uncomfortable was when Dakota Fanning's like, "Is it the terrorists? Is it the terrorists?" Like, don't say that.
You don't need to do that.
Don't remind me of 9/11 while I'm watching a big summer movie.
Whereas I thought so lowly of it, I tend to think of certain scenes from the Scary Movie ripoff as being in it. That's kind of how
the giant iPod.
Yeah, I was thinking about when they have like Ja Rule in the cage and he's sitting there with his hose and
Well, I love it when the homeboys are running and they get zapped by the ray and only their gold chains survive.
Yes. So I was not a fan, and I couldn't stand Tom Cruise. I thought he was the most unlikable character I'd ever seen.
You didn't like it when he sang to his daughter to comfort her?
I wanted to see him die.
I think we all do.
But that had nothing to do with him personally. The character sucked.
Okay. And
that's me personally. Yeah.
No, you're not alone. A lot of people did not like that movie. I hated the remake of The Manchurian Candidate. That's one of my favorite.
Oh, me too.
Favorite political thrillers. Crap. Yeah, with Denzel Washington. Yeah, and it was great cast too. Meryl Streep, but it was, I thought it was garbage.
It was unnecessary for how much I like gore and stuff. It was unnecessarily violent and gory. Yeah.
There you go. Really, I didn't see it. So
really tacky. Speaking of a bad Jonathan Demme remake, this is sad too. But he followed. No, it was actually right before you mentioned Manchurian Candidate. Did a remake of Charade. Did you see that? The Truth About Charlie.
I refused because Charade is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a great film.
And seeing. There's no way that...
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, and I freaking love Tandy Newton, but she couldn't have been more out of place in that movie.
Who are you going to get to replace Audrey Hepburn and Cary Grant?
Yeah.
You're not.
Like, Tandy Newton, maybe, but Mark Wahlberg, no.
As the old... No.
Cary Grant, no.
You know it's bad when the DVD has to include the original with it as a bonus feature?
That was an act of desperation right there.
I'll keep my Criterion, thank you.
I couldn't believe they did that. The Time Machine. Do you guys see The Time Machine remake with Guy Pearce?
Yeah. I actually thought it was okay.
It's okay.
Okay. What did you think of the Italian Job remake?
Oh, gosh. I liked the original Michael Caine movie. But okay.
The remake was fun, though.
It was good. Without the Mini Coopers, though, I wouldn't have remembered it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Those Mini Coopers, to me, like, stole the movie from Edward Norton and Charlize Theron. I wanted one of those little freaking cars just so I could like drive them 80 miles an hour and flip them over bridges. And
yeah. There you go.
Did you guys see Down to Earth, the Chris Rock remake of Heaven Can Wait?
Oh, no.
No.
Okay, yeah, well, it was... Moving on. How about The Producers? What did you guys think of The Producers versus the original Producers?
Didn't hold a candle.
Mm.
I thought Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick were walking through their roles completely. The only parts that I loved, and you know, this is why if it's ever in like the $3 bin, I'll pick it up probably.
Mm.
Will Ferrell in that movie is amazing.
Mm.
He's absolutely hilarious. And I thought Uma Thurman was great as the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
But between those two, they made the movie worth watching. I didn't feel like I'd wasted my time.
You know what I hated about it, though, was the acting was so over the top.
So handsome.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
But it didn't work for... a movie. I mean, you can't be that over the top on screen.
It seemed like Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick were literally repeating their Broadway performances. Yeah. And, you know, it's one thing to act that hamming over the top, you know, when I'm sitting in row 13B, you know, but in close-up, it was just too much.
Yeah, it was way too much.
Yeah.
Got cavity.
You guys, okay, probably one of the best remakes, even though to me the original still is the king, The Departed. Did you guys see Infernal Affairs?
No, I didn't.
Infernal Affairs, I think, is even better than
The Departed. I really want to see it because I wasn't that impressed with The Departed.
You weren't that impressed, really?
I really wasn't. I know. This is a huge point of contention.
You didn't like the best picture of 2006? Awesome.
There was no way that was the best picture of 2006.
I couldn't agree with you more, man.
Children mentioned one. Or Pans. No? Yeah, well, The Fountain for you.
The Fountain for
I would have. I could have
Scanner
lived,
Darkly for me.
I could have lived with Scanner Darkly. I would have been happy for. I could have lived with Pan's Labyrinth. I hated Children of Men.
What? Really? This is breaking.
This is something I never really brought up before.
Holy crap. This should be the topic. Screw this remake crap.
I thought it was completely incoherent.
Why?
What?
They never answered the big question.
Oh, that wasn't the purpose.
At all. No, that's bull.
But what about, you don't know why those crazy birds went out of control in the Hitchcock movie? I mean, you had to know, and you really felt you had to know why the women couldn't.
I feel that was the biggest thing. You know, is this, I don't even care if they tell me why. I really don't care about that. Is this the last gasp of humanity or not?
Hmm.
The fact that they just kind of left that off was kind of like,
But what if they were like, it's because a comet passed, and it's space dust sprinkled all over the ladies while they're sleeping?
Necessarily want to know the cause.
Okay.
I want to know if it's the end of the road for humanity, indeed, or if it's not.
You didn't think it was? Because I thought it was pretty clear that that this was it. That humanity had, what did they say, like 20 years left tops?
Or? Yeah. And for me, it was the movie was about the journey of getting hurt to safety. And it even ended, I mean, there was no conclusion in the ending of whether she even got on the ship or not. But
and I think part of that's just my hang-up on wanting to have closure. And I just, there was no closure to be had for me at all whatsoever. Now, the way it was shot was amazing.
Yeah,
that scene in the battle really it underpinned a lot of why, you know, oh, this is important, it's a baby, but at the end I just really didn't care.
You weren't moved at all? As a religious parable? I mean, the obvious Mary and Jesus parables? And
I really wasn't.
No?
And I don't, I know that I'm not alone because I've talked to several people who
did not like Children of Men. Didn't like it.
Really? This is the first time I've heard of this cult of Children of Men haters.
You know, and I, you know, I'm, it's kind of the same thing as like the Halloween thing. I hated it, but I'm more than willing to give it credit where credit is due.
Hmm.
And there are definite scenes, you know, the fact that, okay, the movie's what, 2 years old now?
Yeah.
If you didn't know this by now, spoiler alert, tough, skip ahead 15 seconds. The fact that they killed off Julianne Moore so quick was very brave, I thought.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's kind of like Samuel L. Jackson getting eaten by the shark. Yeah. Like, oh man, this movie has something to say.
Or Steven Seagal.
They killed off
Steven Seagal, executive decision.
Yes. So, okay.
One of the great death scenes of all time.
Yes. Wait, okay.
And spoiler territory.
Sure.
I want them to remake Nightmare
on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you want to see a remake or do you want to see that prequel that
I want to see Freddy again.
You don't care.
I want to see Freddy again. And I want Clive Barker, like he said he was going to do, was he was going to remake Hellraiser.
Hmm.
And I want that too, because I think updated special effects would really make that movie.
That is going to be a nauseating film.
Yeah, it's going to be gross. That's going to be
so good. Because the original, honestly, my gag reflex was still.
Yeah. I want Critters. Hey. Critters could be a lot of fun.
Do you want a Critters remake or a Critters 6 at this point?
I don't care. It'd be funny either way. All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We've chatted for more than enough for today. Wow. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to what's coming out next week and move on from there.
All right, well, James Mangold always wanted to do a Western. Well, he finally gets his wish. James Mangold, the director of Copland and 2 years ago, we got his big hit Walk the Line, finally doing a remake. 310 in Yuma, Christian Bale and Russell Crowe.
Looks so good.
See how it is.
Yeah.
A movie that was supposed to open this summer and it got pushed back. Telltale sign. Will Forte and Will Arnett are the brothers Solomon. Oh, God. Opening September 7th.
Don't introduce the movie like that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Josh's most anticipated film of the rest of the year.
One of the great films that you will see this year. Will not be Shoot 'Em Up starring Clive Owen, Paul Giamatti, and Monica Bellucci, but there are a few people who really love this film. And finally, in limited release, Hatchet. You know who you are. Somewhere out there wants to see this movie. Hatchet, opening limited release.
So, I know there's been the split decision. We talked about this at Comic-Con, about how Josh loved Shoot 'Em Up. And
I hated Shoot 'Em Up.
But you also said you could understand why people would like it.
Yeah, but I understand why people like Twinkies, you know?
Okay, then.
And Tang, you know, and
but don't you think if you're a diehard action fan that this is a movie that you should definitely go check out?
No. I can't go that far. I'm sorry, but like to me, when you've got Clive Owen impaling a guy with a carrot in the opening scene, to me that just kind of
don't say things like that. In the context of the movie, it's really funny.
Yeah, it sounds like it becomes essentially a giant Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
It is, and they literally like to say you're Wascally Wabbit at one point.
And, yeah. And,
that's actually Paul Giamatti's line at one point. He says, you're Wascally Wabbit.
Okay. It's so over the top, and it's almost like an action spoof in a way, just because you can't believe that the things that he's doing.
Okay.
It will definitely find a following, whether in theaters or not.
Is this like Last Action Hero levels of implausibility?
Oh, this is like crap you've never seen before. It's way beyond that.
Okay. I mean, this is like you know, like a little child who is like literally juggled while they're, you know, while bullets are flying everywhere. I mean, the movie has such a disregard for human life that it is astonishing.
He kills like probably 50 people in the first like 10 minutes of the movie.
Okay, so okay, I'm just trying to get a context here. Are we talking, again, you say disregard for human life. Are we saying Bad Boys 2 levels of disregard for? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like
in less gory way though. It's not as
that little baby who like Clive Owen is running around with trying to protect the whole movie. No, this is not like Children of Men at all. That little baby like endures so much gunfire. There's no freaking way that kid is not going to be tone deaf before it hits like puberty. I mean that the kid like seriously like Clive Owen is like has the kid in one arm and like a Beretta in the other hand. There's no way that kid
there's a sex scene with him and Monica Bellucci and all these people come in when they're having sex and like he kills all the people
and they're still doing it and he's shooting at them. I mean this movie is so freaking ridiculous. I'm sorry, but it's so, but again, like you know who you are. Like you see this movie and it's like either you're gonna go with how
from this description you're gonna know if you're interested or not.
This movie turns it up to an 11 and either you're gonna go with that or you're gonna be like me and be like this is crap or like Josh, like I've been waiting for this movie my whole life.
It's a lot of fun.
Cool. So, all right, let's move on to the DVD releases.
All right.
Oh wow, we had Desperate Housewives this week and next week
we've got Grey's Anatomy season 3. What's going on at the hospital with McDreamy, McSteamy, and McCrappy? Charmed, the final season. Thank God it's over. Bones season 2. Supernatural season 2. What's Supernatural?
It's a CW show. Yeah. It's
CW. That's like the new WWE.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually UPN and CW combined. Yes.
Oh, okay. So I'm learning something new every day. Hey, great classic show here, The Addams Family, Volume 3.
And I put this next one in specifically for you.
Thank you. The great people from who did the original Mystery Science Theater 3000, the film crew, their new episode, The Wild Women of Wongo. You know you want to see it. The film crew, Wild Women of Wongo. 40th Anniversary Collector's Edition of The Graduate, Mrs. Robinson, once again, 40 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. The Fly Collection, the 1958 The Fly, The Return of the Fly, and Curse of the Fly. Vincent Price is only in two of those, but no David Cronenberg The Fly.
Yeah, I think it's more just a throwback to...
Okay, and I understand that because, you know, certainly if you're a big, big, big fan of those 50s The Fly, you're probably not going to like the Cronenberg version, truthfully. And finally, a movie that was in theaters literally for 0.27 seconds, one of the most telltale titles of the year, DOA. Yes, indeed it was. DOA, Dead or Alive, starring Jamie
Presley.
I actually
know someone that saw it in theaters.
Wow. She's the reason it grossed $14.75 and change.
Yeah. And she was 13 and she went and saw it and she was like, I didn't know what it was. And we were the only people in the theater. And
oh, that's so sad.
It was not that good. It's
like, yeah. I have to see it. It looks like Black Mask levels of bad. So
it looks like the Charlie's Angels movie done by Uwe Boll. That's what it looks like to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll still see it. I have to. I've played the games. What goes, you know, what passes for a storyline, I gotta see it.
Is that of a story?
Kind of, sort of, not really.
What, could you elaborate?
Not really.
I'm interested.
No, not really.
Okay, all right.
Giant, at least got Jamie Presley. Die.
Yes, and David Aoki. And,
they're yes. not bad to look at.
There you go.
Tiffany right. Aoki, wasn't she in Too Fast, Too Furious?
No, she was in Sin City.
Yeah, she wasn't.
Oh, she?
Yeah, she was, sorry to say it, put it this way, but she was the Asian chick in Too Fast, Too Furious.
She was the Asian one in Sin City.
And yeah.
She... Cool. All right, let's move on to listener mail, and then we'll very get cool. the heck out of here and go see 310 to Yuma.
Yay.
All right, our email, our good friend, the always, the consistent Ethan.
Thank you, Ethan.
Yes. Hey, guys. Just wanted to comment on the latest podcast on the topic of boxing movies. I'd like to throw out The Boxer starring Daniel Day-Lewis, which happened to be the last movie he did before his five-year hiatus. And with movies that have memorable boxing scenes, what about the hilarious scene in Charlie Chaplin's City Lights? Yeah. That scene is pure classic comedy and never fails to crack me up. And about TV shows that need to be on DVD, I'd like to throw out David Lynch and Mark Frost's short-lived On the Air. As a Lynch fanboy, I've been dying to see this. Also related on to David Lynch and Mark Frost, I'm glad Twin Peaks is finally getting a proper DVD release this fall. On October 30th, there will be a definitive box set that contains the entire series, yes, even the pilot, so I can now finally show it to my friends. Ethan.
I want to respond and say, Ethan, you know, I understand being a diehard Lynch fan, you got to see On the Air. As someone who watched that show when I was on, I could...
You're not missing much.
No, it's very much like the Lucasfilm movie, Radioland Murders. It's almost exactly like that. It's so ham-fisted and corny and slapstick heavy. It's amazing that Lynch did it, and it's just amazingly terrible. There's a lot of Twin Peaks actors who appear in the movie, in the series. I think it only lasted like 3 or 4 episodes, but it was, from what I remember, it was truly, truly awful. But I understand, diehard David Lynch fan, you got to see it. Well, if you never get to see it, I'm sure any memory of it that you could possibly imagine in your head would be better than 5 minutes of the actual show.
Well, thanks again to Ethan. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. If you would like to send us some email, you can hit Barry or I at Barry or Dave at ScreenGeeks.com. See, I do two shows. See, I get mixed up. If you'd like to send us feedback about the show, you can hit us at podcast@ScreenGeeks.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 719-966-4307. And thanks for joining us, sir.
You're welcome.
Until next week, this is Dave.
And Barry.
Josh.
This is the Screen Geeks. Take it easy.